Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back there is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of LA. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there for an exclusive offer for backseaters. Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm the host of this podcast. Alongside me and far away from me, I'm literally scooting away from him, is the highly sick, highly contagious, we shouldn't even be here. Stephen English.
102, baby.
Purdue. That is not the his English level class he's in right now.
That's my temp, dude.
He is dying.
Rapidly.
He is quite sick. He is the co-producer, and or he's the main producer.
Now.
And the he may be dead. By the end of this episode. But thank you for coming back, Backseaters. Great to see you. And new listeners, thank you. We might have some new ones in the St. Louis-Wentzville area.
Oh, hello.
Or Murfreesboro-Nashville area.
Okay.
Both areas that I toured this weekend, and hopefully picked up a few new Backseaters.
Hey, M-I-Z.
M-I-Z?
And that right now, everyone else said Z-O-U on the other side. That's
oh,
cool.
M-I-Z. And speaking of Mizzou.
Right.
Who had a big game yesterday.
Yeah.
Chase.
Daniel.
Well, what's his middle name? MFN? Bleep bleeping. I love Chase. Guess how many years he's been in the pros?
Oh, he was
11.
I know, I was gonna say, because it was the year
11
after,
years,
2 years after I did.
You're an old man.
I am very old.
Yeah. 11 year Chase Daniels. I was like, oh yeah, maybe he's maybe he gets turned, maybe the fourth, fifth year.
Yeah,
we're old men. We're old men. Anyways, thank you for tuning in to our little podcast. We have a fun episode today. Today we have a one Eric Knowles.
Yep.
Eric Knowles is a stand-up comedian. He's a father. Mm-hmm. He's a husband. Mm-hmm. He is a pivotal member of the San Diego community comedy scene, particularly when I started. He was the most established, probably funniest, most well-known comedian in our scene. And he was the booker of Madhouse Comedy Club at the time, slash bartender. And we talk about that. We talk about family. We talk about moving from big city to small city. We talk about kind of mixed family stuff of, you know, kids from different marriages and stuff like that and all and those dynamics. He went from living in San Diego to a little tiny town, sit multiple hours outside of Houston.
Right.
Very small.
Yeah.
Small town dynamics. But we also talk a lot about my early comedy career because he was around and he was the first guy to pass me at a comedy club. And and we were, this is our third episode of what I record when I was in Vegas. So Eric was in Vegas performing at the Stratosphere, and he was headlining, and it was a fun. It was fun to catch up with my old buddy. Eric won the World Series of Comedy a few years ago. He crushes as hard as anybody crushes.
Second World Series of Comedy winner too. He was Chenny.
That's second. And I think Ryan Goodcase just won one, and I know him because we did a weekend with him in San Francisco. So there you go.
Bada bing.
Bada Boom.
Yeah.
I feel, I wish you guys, okay, so right now, we have fully quarantined Steven. Before we did that, actually, Eric's social media.
Yeah.
You can follow him on Twitter at Eric Knowles. That's Eric with a K and Knowles with a K. So E-R-I-K and then K-N-O-W-L-E-S. That's how you find him on Twitter. And then on Instagram, he is Eric with a hard K. That's his.
That's good.
That's his good. Yeah, because you know there's a lot of Erics on there. So Eric with a hard K. There's K's in there. So find him on the social media, and don't find Steven anywhere.
No.
Stay away from Steven.
Yeah, run away.
I'm so nervous about all of this.
No, well, here's the deal. Like you said, if you could see me right now, I do have a mask on.
Yes,
I have a mask on, and I just realized I have not brushed my teeth this morning, so it is interesting in here. Yeah.
I've never thought about that. When you wear a mask, you smell what you're producing. It's probably recycling. The only true way to smell your breath, because they say the hand thing doesn't work, right?
No. And I'm smelling all of it.
Yeah. I'm like, why did my hands smell like gingivitis? I got the finger vitis.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yes.
These are dumb jokes. Well, I'm sorry
that
you're
sick. I have a
glove on? You have one glove.
One glove.
And then one hand in the pocket.
Yes, because I'm free. I'm at the same time freezing, but also hot.
Yeah,
I'm like chills, but yeah. I'm also like can't. I'm
what
hot.
What a treat.
But then I take off my like sweatshirt and my sweatpants, and then I'm deathly cold, so I have to keep like
and
just.
And you got this from
my dad.
Because you, unlike your mom, kiss your dad on the mouth.
Right on the lips.
And your mom won't be in the same room as him, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It just proves, I guess, how little my parents interact on a day-to-day basis when they're at home. Because we went to my mom and dad's house like 2 days in a row, and I came back sick. And my dad had been sick for 2 days previous.
Yeah.
My mom is, she's kicking. She's out there. She's lifting weights. She's flipping tires.
Nothing to, you know what? It sounds like your parents could use. Sounds like your parents could use a little getaway.
Yeah.
And I think I might have the place in mind.
Where's that?
Could I tell you about our new sponsor?
What? I just got cured. That news just cured me.
Here's the thing about Don't Make Me Come Back There. We like to work our ads in subtle ways. But we have a new sponsor today.
New ad.
Meaning that will be the smoothest way that we bring in the ad in the rest of this ad's history.
It will
give you whiplash the next time we sneak this ad
yeah
in here.
It'll
but
be
this
rough.
Real pretty smooth in here. I want to tell you about Dow Vineyards and Winery, buddy. Are you familiar?
Oh.
I know you're familiar.
Oh, you mean the one from Paso Robles?
Paso Robles.
Robles?
I think actually you have to hold the R for 3 seconds.
Paso.
Too long. My wife and I had the opportunity to go up to Dow, and it was amazing. If you're in Southern California, it's not far.
Mm-hmm.
Couple hours. You're up there in no time.
Yeah,
out in Paso Robles. Central. What would we call it? Central Coast area.
Yeah.
We're right on the 101.
Yeah,
spectacular.
Nice drive.
Oh, it's a very nice drive.
Yeah,
you're there. It's scenic almost the whole way.
Yeah,
and there's lots of California not very scenic.
Right.
And it's and
Tracy,
once you get
for
up
example.
There, it's let's name names.
Yeah,
it's absolutely gorgeous. And it's at 2,200 feet. The estate that they have is one of the highest vineyards in Paso, and the views are absolutely breathtaking. Like, I mean, it's like you really get up there, and in addition to the amazing wine and the experience, you really kind of get like, kind of taken out of it all.
Yeah.
You know, you forget about your worries.
Sure.
It's what the doctor ordered.
Right.
And I think it might be what we need to
No,
order
my
for
doctor
your
ordered me to make a will. To get my affairs in order. That's what he said. He said, you're done, dude. You need to just start bequeathing stuff. That's what he told me.
Yeah, it really is something spectacular. The Dow brothers have an incredible story, and you kind of get immersed and sucked into the whole thing. And so it's really spectacular. We highly recommend it. And we have a special little offer for our backseaters here.
Whoa.
So not only, you know, anybody can go there,
right?
You know, and they should go there.
Right.
But our backseaters have a special offer to become a Dow member for the day.
And don't you dare tell anybody else.
Don't you dare. In this Dow membership, you're a member for the day, and that's going to be VIP tasting, exclusive access and seating, so you're going to get the good views. A guided tour of the estate. We did this. Super cool.
Yeah.
It's super cool. You're driving around on the cart. You get to pick the fruit off the thing. Oh,
nice.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
And a surprise gift. I don't even know what that's going to be. You're going to have to message me. When you guys go get this, you got to tell me what that surprise gift is.
It's a new car.
It is a new car.
It's a Kia Sportage.
Yeah. It's not a great car.
No. But it's new-ish.
But
it's
you
new
know
you.
What? For $45 a person, pretty good deal. Yeah. That's a great deal.
Yeah.
$45 a person.
Yeah,
it's
great.
So if you're going to want to do that, and you're going to want to do that, if you're in the Southern California area, you're going to go to Dow Vineyards. Dow spelled D-A-O-U. Vineyards.com/don't make me come back there. The link will be in the bio here, provided that Stephen gets healthy enough to type that in.
Right.
Maybe, yeah, check it out, guys. Go up to Dow, DowVineyards.com/don't make me come back there and check it out.
Chickity check.
Yeah.
And take an Uber up there because you're driving home in your new Sportage.
Okay, guys, there's going to be parts of that that are accurate.
I didn't read the ad copy beforehand. Yeah, Dustin read it.
We need you guys to discern what is true and what not true there. Other little promotion things on my end. If you guys are interested in seeing me do stand-up comedy, which some of you are, some of you are not, let's be honest. If you follow me on Instagram, pretty much all I do is pumpkin spice polls.
Yeah.
Do you follow me on Instagram? You probably don't.
I do, but I've been mostly sleeping and sweating.
It's a whole thing. I'm not even going to get into it right now. But you can come see me in Tampa Bay on October 17th, in Atlanta October 18th, Dallas October 19th. Houston, October 20th. San Diego, and Steven will be on that. He'll probably be healthy by then.
Yeah.
On December 14th. And Spokane, February 9th. Nashville, February 26th. Tacoma, March 28th and 29th.
Yeah. That December show might be my memorial show.
Might be the
celebration of Steven the English's life.
We'll remember you. We'll all be sipping some Dow Red, a blend from Dow. Stephen's memorial brought to you by Dow Vineyard.
I've told my parents this, and I've told my wife this. I want to be put in some sort of sarcophagi or a mausoleum.
Wow.
I want to be wrapped in linens.
Yeah.
And I want all my stuff with me.
Like a pharaoh.
Yeah, like a pharaoh. I want everything with me. So don't even.
That's the Egyptian in you coming out. Is there some Egyptian in there? I don't know. I wanted to tell you one quick story before we get into this great episode with Eric. So my son, he is in a new baseball league.
Okay.
And he transitioned into Patriot, which is like, it's the first time you're kind of at a little league.
It's the one where you can cheat. Patriots. Go Bills.
Go. Oh, that's what you mean, that Patriot thing. I thought you were like talking about the Patriot Act.
No.
That was like, something to do with security. I was like, but anyways, this next one, it's the bigger bases. You can lead off, you know, all that kind of stuff. So Joel is small and he is adjusting, but not that much. He's playing pretty well.
Yeah.
And I got into like a little tiff with a parent who was like a little older and was like trying to be nice. You're probably already getting a little bit of it where people like say something to your kid and they're trying to be encouraging, but they kind of like low key insult your kid.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
What I mean? They're like, oh, like his eyes look better than they used to. Like what? What was wrong with his eyes? He looks more like a boy now. What? What was that last one now? You're not even woke. Joel's first at bat, he gets up there and everyone's kind of like, oh, Joel, they're kind of talking about how he looks small.
Yeah.
And they're throwing hard and stuff. And they're like, and this mom was like, you know, it's an adjustment. It's always an adjustment in the first year.
Yeah.
And then Joel gets up there and the first pitch like ropes a double in the gap. and I'm cheering and I'm super excited and they round second and there's like a moment of silence where I go, okay, you know, he let his action speak for himself. And then the clapping stops and I go, what adjustment? And I got a really nasty look from a mom and a little bit of a nasty look from the umpire.
Well, so you said it loud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was very loud. Yeah. What adjustment? It was a very loud. And I think like the other parents, because we were sitting next to him, were like, all right, buddy, relax.
Right.
And then his next at bat, he hit another double. So.
Roping.
He struck out twice yesterday. But.
Okay.
It might have been the pitcher who was still adjusting to the league in the first round. But I don't know. I think a little trash. It should be allowed, right? Talking trash on behalf of your kid.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And spitting. not on them, but you spit at them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
At their feet.
That's a given.
Like an Italian.
Yeah.
Like an old Italian grandma. Yeah. You know, you spit at their feet and you do that.
You should not be spitting on anybody. Well, guys, we're going to end this episode. I feel myself getting sick. Enjoy this episode with Eric. You guys, if you have not already, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. Shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com with questions that you might have or comments or concerns.
And we're getting back to the voicemails
as soon as he gets, we will have a voicemail. We have a bunch of them for next week.
Yeah.
Provided that this man gets. Yeah. It's hard to look at somebody wearing the mask and be like, he'll be good soon.
Because I definitely don't look like a doctor.
No. No comment. All right, everybody, enjoy this episode with Eric. You guys are the best. Thanks for being listeners.
See you guys.
All day I'm doing nothing. I'm like, I wish I could Uber or something. I'm being so unproductive.
I always feel like that because I saw the rules on Uber, like, are you have to be, I think you can only do it in one area.
Yeah, it is.
Which is unfortunate for the comic.
That would be a perfect thing for
us.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah, I would drive to Vegas.
Yeah.
I would do the 18-hour drive.
Yeah.
To make, you know, I don't know, $100 a day.
Yeah, I don't know what they're making.
And you can invite every passenger to your show. Promote all day.
Yeah. What are you doing tonight? You don't have plans? Great. Have you ever been to the Stratosphere?
Right. I'm going to see this awesome comedian. I can get you on the guest list.
Wow.
Being an Uber driver, I have connections. And then they get there and it's you.
Oh, okay. He was pretty funny.
Yeah.
he had a pretty good George W.
Pretty good comedian. 5-star Uber driver, though.
This is one of those cities that I was talking to someone about this last night, that like, I bet if you don't know how to Uber here, then it's like a, like if you're not familiar with this city, I bet it's a pain to Uber in, because back roads, and then also like you, what you were just dealing with the valet and trying to, like, where do you park in these places?
Yeah.
Where do you, okay, I want to go, say I want to go to the buffet at Caesar's, where do I park? Where do I go when I get inside? Where does the Uber go? Where it's all,
yeah.
Nothing is convenient here.
Even Ubering is hard now because you have to go to the special rideshare place.
Right.
They can't pick you up off the street.
They can't. No. They won't. And the rideshare spot in the MGM, where I'm saying, is like invisible. It's like hidden.
Yeah.
It's in between the comedy club and the pretzel shop.
Yeah. They always put it like way away, like you're third class. You're past the smoking area, way out by the street.
Like everybody, it's like where the employees park.
Oh, you can't afford a taxi? Then go further.
Yeah.
They're the rest of the riffraff.
Like, do I have to have a special pass to be out here? I feel like.
And then even amongst rideshare, it's like, oh, you're doing Lyft?
Yeah, you're like, yeah.
I'm Uber X only.
Yeah, they're like, the MGM employees like hand you some trash to take out while you're on your way out back. Can you just throw this in the dumpster while you're at it?
Yeah, because the Uber share place is right next to the dumpster.
Hey, while you're out there, could you take the towels out? The linens guy's coming through soon. Yeah.
And tell Julio his break's over. He needs to come back inside.
Yeah, all the, that's where the employees are on their smoke smoking, break. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So, well, thanks for doing this, man. It has been a while. I have told, this will be fun for any somewhat regular podcaster or listeners of this show, because I've told a couple stories about you, though I haven't named you, about some of my first time. So all of like my firsts in comedy were at Madhouse Comedy Club in San Diego. And
that's back when I was kind of like,
you were the booker.
I was booking.
Yeah. You were that was back when that club was like kind of a traditional, you get passed at club.
Yeah.
And I tell a couple stories. One, my first night there, I'm doing the open mic, and a couple noticeable things happened there. One, I remember the regulars went up on after the mic, and I was like, "Who are these guys?
Oh yeah,
because these guys are good at this, and nobody's been good at this yet." And you were one of them, and you absolutely murdered. And I was like, "Who is this guy?" That was one of the stories.
You're just saying that because I'm here now.
No. I've told the story on here, I didn't know any better, so I might not hold up, but.
Yeah.
For my first night, you were pretty
back
good.
Back then, you had just watched an open mic, so by contrast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, wow, this guy actually has a rhythm. And
this guy looks like he planned this. Yeah. The confidence of which he grabbed the microphone was amazing.
Oh, he put the stand behind him. Pro.
That's the first
this guy's
tip.
A pro.
That's the first tip a comic gave me. Zoltan told me that.
Yeah.
Zoltan, he goes, hey, when you get up there, just grab that stand and put it behind you. Because I would mess with
there
it.
There actually is something to that. Yeah. You know, you're like establishing your authority.
Yeah.
You're like, let me make room.
Yeah. I'm going to need this.
It's all and, posturing, really.
Yeah, and some people like watch Burr lean on it, and they think that's the move. He's like, yeah, that's his thing. You don't get to... And that's not
Zoltan.
Yeah. And that night was also the night that the bartender, who was Dave Callens that night, told me, he was like, oh, well, if you want to make it a comic and you're married, just go ahead and get a divorce now. I tell that story a lot, too.
Oh, that's fun.
But then also you were the first booker to pass me at a club.
Oh, really?
And people ask, I've asked, like, oh, you know, how do you stand out? And I go, well, you know, I was consistent and I did well. And I was at open mics a lot. And then one time I helped Eric move. And then the next time he saw me, I got passed.
That's the business, man. Yeah. Oh, that's what I hate about it. I've been part of the problem. No. But you're also very funny, though.
And I helped you move. Yeah. It was both.
You know, a lot of other people helped me move that didn't get passed. So if you remember, I was moving quite a lot back then. It was like every other month. It was, hey, I need help moving.
Yeah. It was like a post at like 11. You're like, hey, we got till morning. I was like, I don't know what's going on. But.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I do remember that. And you were like new to me. Kind of at that point. Yeah, I do remember that.
It's not
a bad
way to get
you
noticed.
Were like the only person that came and helped.
Yeah.
That was the most brutal move we've ever made.
Do you remember what happened? I don't even remember the details.
Well, it was like...
It's never good if you're like, hey, we got to be out by morning. But
we were renting this big, nice place.
It was really big, yeah. I remember I moved a lot of the boxes out of various rooms.
It was a real nice place. And the person we were renting from, I guess, just got it repoed.
Oh,
we didn't know any of this. The house went up for auction. These people bought it, and we're just chilling at home one day, and they knock on the door, and they're like, hey, can we come in? And I was like, no. He's like, yeah, well, we own this place. We just bought it, so you have to let us in. And I was like, am I supposed to just take your word for it? Like, do you have a piece of paper? Because, no, I'm not just granting you access to this house. And they came back later with paperwork, and they had bought it that day at auction. And so they were like, you got 30 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we had to move everything out. And we didn't have any, like, we weren't trying to move. So we didn't have, like, moving money saved or anything. Like, did we even have a rental truck or did we?
No, we were all loading up our cars and stuff. It was a bunch of trips. The place you moved to was cool, though. It was, like, up on a hill. I remember that because
it was a nice place.
It was raining. It was an adventurous move. It was the type of thing to get you at regular spots at Madhouse Comedy Club.
Yeah, you earned it, man. That move, I literally moved for 40 hours straight with no sleep. Just literally get the next box.
Oh,
keep
my gosh,
it going.
Yeah.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever we don't get just has to stay there, I guess.
Yeah. They're going to change the locks. They bought that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in that scenario, you're probably like, whatever. Yeah. You know what? We don't want this. Should we take it to Goodwill? That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
They're kicking us out anyways.
My wife is like, make sure you know, this box. And I'm like, this whole thing can go in the trash. This is garbage.
Moving does have a good way of like, when you think you want something, and then when you go, do I want to wrap it, box it, lift it, and then lift it, unwrap it, unbox it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I don't need that.
At the 40th hour, you're like, should I throw it or kick it?
Referring to your children.
Here's a good china. I'm just going to spike this right here.
Yeah, we like where we live, but we don't like love where we live. Like, it's a nice place, but it's on a busy street. But what keeps us there is like, I don't want to move.
Yeah.
Oh, moving. Are you kidding me? What a pain. What a hassle.
I love where I live now.
Yeah. Well, I was so happy that you wanted to do this and that we could, you know, crank out some content while we catch up. Because why
Absolutely.
Would we just be normal people and catch up if we can't do it on a podcast?
Right. We have to prove it.
Yeah. I had a friend say recently, she goes, I want to start a podcast where I call it Save It for the Podcast. Like, you don't want to say
That's funny. You know how many times people have said that?
Yeah. No, save that.
They hate it. Yeah. I'm trying to just chit chat. before the podcast starts? Yeah. You know, hey, no. That's funny. Save it.
That's good content. Yeah, we're empty on the inside. But I don't think we have talked since you moved to Texas. You moved from San Diego to Texas 4 years ago?
Like three.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe three and a half.
Well, there's just this void in San Diego. It feels, you know, it feels empty now without
you. I'm glad somebody says that. It's weird, you know, because I was like the big fish in the small pond.
Yeah.
I would walk into any club in San Diego, you know, a few years ago. It was like Norm walking into Cheers.
Yeah.
You know? Like, no, how you doing? Hey,
you want to get on stage?
Yeah. Please get on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're like, who's the old guy? They're just a whole new crop of freshmen. Yeah.
Russell Hicks came into, he was in town this week.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that new comics didn't know who he was, because I knew who Russell is, but I was never in San Diego when he was in San Diego. It's just the comics that I was around a lot, Jesse and Zoltan and Billy, are like, hey, these are the guys you gotta know, you gotta watch Russell. So I would see Russell when he came to town, but like this new class, they have no idea. They also don't know who I am because I'm gone a lot. I had a comic this last week. We were at the Comedy Palace and I did a guest spot, and I got bumped to go, or I didn't know, I get bumped up in the order to go after them because they bombed very hard. And Bijan was like, hey, can you go on earlier?
Yeah,
and
I
was
like, save this a little
bit. You can mop this up a little bit. and then after the show, they came up to me and they're like, oh, so are you based here? Like, do you go up in San Diego? Like, have you ever done Madhouse? And I was like, oh, I wanted to pat him on the head. Yeah. You're adorable. But that happens. Like, if you move, or even if you're on the road a lot. Yeah. So
people do that to me. Like, oh, do you ever go to Madhouse? And I'm just staring at him. Like, I built Madhouse. I hung the pictures.
They had to move because I left.
Yeah.
Where are you? You're in Texas now.
Yeah.
Right? And where in Texas?
I'm kind of near Houston. That's the closest thing. Okay. You would recognize. I'm like 2 hours from Houston. That's where I fly in and out of.
Oh, it's Houston.
Yeah,
okay.
But I live in a little town called Warren.
Okay.
We have one flashing yellow light. Like, it's a small town.
Yeah. How'd you end up there?
My family's from there. That's my neck of the woods.
All right.
You know, so I moved back there where my family is. They help us watch the kids, you know, when we're working. And I love it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, just the cost of living alone.
Sure.
I mean, I have I rent still, and I'm going to stay there forever, or until I buy. Mm-hmm. But it's a 3-bedroom house. It's on an acre of land. We're at $600 a month. Yeah.
I think they get you a porta potty in LA.
Oh.
I think they can. If that. You know?
But I love it. And, you know, the kids get the small town life.
Do they like it? Because they know a little bit of both, right?
Yeah, the older kids that grew up in San Diego kind of hate it.
Yeah. How many kids, right? Because you and Becky, how many kids do you guys have?
We have five altogether.
Five, okay. And the age range is?
My youngest is, she's 2. Lincoln is 7. Riley is 12 now, going into 7th grade. And the two boys are 17 and 18.
Okay. So how are they feeling about Warren?
They don't like it that well. I mean, they like Warren. I mean, they like the town. They don't like to stay with us too often because, you know, their dad lives in Houston. He's got a big house. He lets them play video games and TV as much as they want.
Yeah.
And we don't do that at our house.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, turn it off.
Right.
Go outside.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Be here with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the 18-year-old, he's one of these kids. He thinks he's going to be like a millionaire gamer, streamer, YouTuber.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So his identity is really wrapped up in the,
yes,
in the games and
yeah,
stuff. Yeah.
No, his whole identity.
It's not his hobby.
Yeah. And the crappy part is he might do it.
Yep. Yeah.
He might.
Yeah.
I'm not putting anything past the world today and what is, you know, popular.
Yeah. Well, plus, like, with the jobs that we have, we can't really judge anyone.
That's true. That's true. I can't be. That's not a real job. Don't follow your dream.
I used to do a bit. I've been doing it less and less about, it's silliness about telling people not to believe in their dreams, but to try their dreams, don't believe in them. And I sometimes do feel like I can't tell it with a lot of conviction because they're like, what are you doing right now? You're just up here telling diarrhea jokes for 20 minutes.
Try your dreams. Don't believe in them. I like that.
Well, because it's not every dream is realistic.
Right.
Like you
There's a million reasons why the dreams might not work out for you. The circumstances might not work out for you. Like, not anything isn't possible. Like, you might not have the means. You might not have the opportunity. You know, there's already fate and destiny. It might be stacked way against you that you
just stand-up was a dream.
Yes.
Before you did it.
Yes.
Like, I remember thinking about it.
Yeah.
I remember being in the Marine Corps and, like, sitting in these auditoriums to get some lesson that we had to just sit and listen to.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking it then.
Yeah.
I was, like, doing the math. Like, wow, there's, like, 400 seats. I could do stand-up. It was just, like, a fantasy. A daydream.
Totally.
I would think about it and, like, that'd be cool. Maybe I could come back someday and be a comedian.
Yeah.
Then I'll just dismiss that thought, like, okay, back to normal.
Yeah,
that's stupid. You know, here I am later. That's my job.
Yeah, I would write it. I just wanted to try it. That was the first dream, was just, like, to try it. And I would write bits down. What if I did a bit on this? What if that would be a funny premise. But I would never actually do it.
Really?
And then I did it, and then I was like, oh, okay. You know, like, and then the dream was just to do it professionally.
I've heard a lot of people say that they wrote jokes for a long time before they went on stage.
I think it was people who were like me who were just obsessed with stand-up comedy. Even before I did it, I just really obsessed over it. I just loved it. It was like, you know, I just grew up watching it all the time. And I think that is to the point of, like, the gamer to the 18-year-old who's like, that's been his world and he loves it. And then he sees a select few making a profession of, and some of them making it an amazing profession out of it. Like, there is a part of me that goes like, I can't judge you for that, you know, but
I'm still the old man.
Yeah, exactly.
I still also am like, you're an idiot. Go to college. College did you go to? Shut up. I'm actually talented.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
That's what it's, yeah.
I think the old man part
of you.
I've
seen you play. You suck. You get mad every time. That's the thing. These kids, they swear they're having a blast, but they're furious.
Yeah.
The entire time they're playing.
Yeah, we cut my son off when we hear anger levels hit a thing where we're like, all right, you're
that's
done.
That's my thing. I'm like, oh, you're not enjoying it anymore? Go find something fun. Yeah. No, I like it.
Yeah.
No, you're jumping up and down.
I feel that way about stand-up a lot.
Yeah. That's...
If I only did this when I enjoyed it, there'd be a lot of gigs I had to cancel.
Mm. I would have walked out of a couple this week.
I've heard the Strat shows can be a little on the rowdy side.
Or how are they? Yeah, no, they've been decent. They've been good.
Yeah.
Attendance has been a little low this week.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been good. But there was one audience where just sometimes, you know, the energy's not there.
Yeah.
They laughed really hard at like every third joke and then got distracted, you know, between the other two.
Yeah. I like when
just annoying.
Yeah, I had a crowd earlier this week where these crowds are usually like lovely and on good behavior and you know, but I just was like, I made a joke. I was like, I feel like you guys will like a punchline and then like you guys will all break into a small group to discuss the punchline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was really funny. Let's chat about it. That reminds me of this. I was like, no, if you liked that one.
Right.
Or there's another one coming right behind it.
Or the guy who repeats what you just
said. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then his table laughs again.
Yeah. Like, that guy's writing tags
like
for you.
Like, he just said it. No, yeah, he's saying exactly the last few words that I said.
I had a guy last night, like I had a joke and it was a very funny moment. We got like, and I'm hosting, so I'm going up top and you know, they can be a little tight up top. And I go and the joke like gets a pretty good laugh, but not a big one. There's a beat and a guy literally slaps his knee and goes, that's funny. I was like, I would have loved to laugh.
Yeah.
I would have loved.
Yeah. I hate when they just straight face like that's hilarious.
Yeah. Like they're a comedian. That's what we say.
Yeah.
Like he's applauding the structure of the joke.
A lot of times some people are.
Yeah.
Because we did that.
Yeah.
You know, I did. Before I did stand-up, I would go to shows.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I remember I heckled Stephen Kendrick. He was a guy. Do you know him?
Yeah.
You know, he was at the Comedy Store.
Uh-huh.
And this was, like, years before I ever met him.
Yeah.
My mom came to town, and I was like, let's go see stand-up.
Yeah.
And, like, he was asking a rhetorical question or something. He's like, you know, I'm, like, 30, you know, about like you, right? You know, and he's trying to move on with his joke. And I'm like, I'm 25. You know, I'm just answering, correcting him. I remember he looked at me like, what the f- you doing?
And that's the type of stuff now that we're like, what are you doing? But yeah, you just don't know better.
Yeah.
When you go to comedy clubs, we just assume, that's an error that comics make, is we often assume that they know as much about
right
what it's going to be like.
And it's the opposite.
They don't know anything.
I think like 80% of every audience is there for their first
their
show
first
ever.
Their first show, yeah.
They don't know.
They yeah. don't know.
I mean, I ask all the time, how many people is your first comedy show? Almost every time it's 70 to
80%. Yeah, yeah. And so then we're mad when they like don't respond at the right. correct times. You
yeah,
know? Like,
yeah. We do. I get angry.
Yeah.
Like, even sometimes I'll have a really killer set.
Yeah.
And I'll still hate the audience. I'll be like, those guys are idiots. Like, laughing at all my stupid stuff. Bunch of sheep. Yeah, like I resent them sometimes. I have to remember, like, they don't know how
yeah.
to act.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
Yeah, that the funny, my son has been asking more and more, like he's kind of like, so he's 12 and he asks a lot about like comedy dynamics and stuff like that. Not the company, the dynamics of comedy. And
he's asked a lot, like who books that?
Yeah, yeah. But he does talk, we talk a lot about like the streamer thing because right, they live in the world of Ninja and all these, you know, and the YouTube. So they're like, that's a lot of the questions that they ask are like, well, you know, how many Instagram followers do you have? Because they're not on any of the social media, but a lot of their friends are. But we try and kind of keep him off of it because he's my oldest is 12 and you're like, and he is one of the last of his friends not to have a phone, and he always says like, well, when do I get one? I was like, well, when you can buy one. I don't have to provide this. I don't like, there's nothing in this contract. Like, he has a little Gizmodo watch that can text us and call us and nothing else.
Oh really?
So we, and it I has like GPS that. On it, so we can know where he is. And that's like, I'm like, that's all you'll ever need.
You Gizmodo. I'm looking that up.
Yeah, this, yeah, yeah. Like, you can be 18 and have that. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And if you want to go buy yourself a phone, that's fine. But I might succumb on this. But it's kind of like you said, it's like, I feel like kids in social media are the same way as kids in video games, is they think it's a thing that they want. And then, you know, you see them interacting with it. And then you see like the psychological studies that come from it. I was like, this is ruining your life.
It is really bad for them and for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For all, like, it's bad for adults.
Yeah.
And so then you give it to an unformed mind.
Yeah. I look at my social media for too long.
Yeah.
And you get that weird feeling, that anxious, empty.
Yeah.
Like, I need more likes or.
Yeah.
Why didn't, you know, you start scrutinizing everything.
And it's so easy to compare. Like, and that's already easy for us to compare in this industry.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like so-and-so's getting what, or even so in this today, as I've recorded multiple podcasts today, I've had people who are like, oh, you get to play this club. And I'm like, well, you get to play that club. And I was like, well, you're headlining. Well, you're middling. And like,
right.
And even this week amongst friends, there's posturing.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and, absolutely.
And in social media.
Like, we were talking on the way over here. It's like.
Yeah.
You know, Isaac's like, "What? Where's he at, Dustin?" I was like, I think he's Brad Garrett's. And he's like, how'd he get that? You know? Like, I don't know. How'd you get the feature spot that you're doing?
Yeah,
you
yeah, know? Yeah. I'm not featuring. I'm hosting here.
Yeah.
You know? So there you go. Yeah. It's all. But in social media, there's literal metrics of your followers and your likes and all these things. And they do things that like Facebook Messenger and Instagram, well, the reason they can see if you've read their message or not is they've built that there so that you keep interacting with it. They put the social pressure on you.
Yeah.
Like, hey, somebody knows you've seen that and you didn't respond.
Right.
That's
a new thing. Oh, he left me on red.
Right.
That's what they say. Like,
what?
You're can see that you read it.
Yeah.
And he didn't respond.
What a terrible sentence.
Yeah. He left me on red.
Yeah. My son said that
back in my day, we used to just leave the phone off the hook.
I'm not here. Yeah,
you could block everybody just like picking the phone up and setting it down.
Yeah, exactly. Bill collectors, friends, family, whatever it may be.
Yeah,
no one's getting a hold of you.
Could block the world back
until
then.
They show up at your door and saying you got to be out in 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what happened at the last place.
We own this house.
We just didn't answer the phone enough.
So, of course, that makes sense. I suppose they're older, but the younger kids, they seem to be enjoying the small town life and they like it and seeing extended family and stuff. Is it good out there?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's awesome. Like, we have fireworks. you know,
every day.
Yeah, well, yeah. I bought a bunch. Yeah. We still have some.
Yeah. So, not only is this Texas, this is small town Texas. Yeah.
My 7-year-old though is obsessed with a phone, you know, because the older kids have them now. Yeah. Do your kids do that where they want your old phone that you're not using anymore?
Yeah,
so he just plays with it and pretends that it's a phone.
Oh.
And he keeps putting like a lock on it, a code.
Yeah.
You know? And then he forgets it. Like he's on his fifth old phone. But that worries me too. It's like, I don't want you pretending and like practicing to be a slave to this thing.
Yeah.
It's like I want to protect him from it, but it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be even worse by the time he's really grown.
Right.
I mean, they're going to have hologram phones or something.
Yeah.
And it's just, it scares me, the instant access to any information.
Yeah.
It really is like a genie in their pocket. Mm-hmm. They want to see something bad, they just ask Siri.
Yeah.
You know,
they want to see something good. It's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You can't lie to your kids about stuff.
Yeah,
because they can Google it.
I don't know about that. That sounds pretty questionable. Yeah, it is like a, like with my daughter, she loves animals, and we'll be talking, and she'll be like, "Well, what's like a baby eagle called?" And I'm like, "I think it's a hatchling, maybe an eagling. I don't know. You just look
eaglet.
It up." Yeah, and then you know. And she's like, "Well, who are their predators?" And I was like, "Well, I used to have a book for this." I either used to have to know this, lie about this, or have a book lying around.
Yeah.
But now I can't. So there is elements of where I'm very grateful, but I don't want that in the pocket of a 12-year-old or a 9-year-old or a 7-year-old. Like my 10-year-old girl wants it because the 12-year-old wants it. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're even further out from getting this, you know?
And there's predatory ads.
Yeah.
You know, there's like my kid, I used to let him watch the YouTube Kids app.
Yeah.
Right? So it was all kids stuff.
Mm.
But there's so much weird stuff on there. Like if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
There's like this whole genre of Spider-Man and Elsa. So these are adults that'll do these little act outs. One guy's dressed like Spider-Man, one lady is dressed like Elsa.
Uh-huh.
And it's like Spider-Man will pee on her or poop on her.
What?
There's a lot of like syringes. He gives her a shot and it hurts.
What?
Yeah, very traumatic, weird stuff. There's a whole thing on it. Look up Elsa Gate, they call it.
That's, I'll watch that with my kids later.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. And then there's the rumors of Momo. Remember that?
Momo was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I asked my kids, like, have you heard of this thing? Like, you ever been watching a video and then something scary pops up?
Yeah.
You know, they said no. But, I mean, that may just be like an urban legend to get the parents mad. But who knows?
Well, the Momo challenge was the thing. They were like, watch this video. And, like, she would... I think it was something like she would challenge you. There was a video thing. It was, she would challenge you to do something, and if she doesn't, she's going to haunt you or whatever. And some of them were like innocent things, and others were like, you need to go lay down in the road, like stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the internet's awful. I'm not sure.
And it would show this creepy looking.
Yeah, it was creepy.
Like the girl from The Ring almost.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I miss the good old days when you just had to like, you know, watch The Exorcist privately.
Yeah.
And then be like, that was a mistake. I just ruined my childhood.
Yeah.
But at least I had to do some effort.
And for me, I'm very spiritually minded these days.
Yeah.
Like, you're a Christian, I think, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So for me, it's like, I don't want to let that kind of energy into the house and around my children.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be protecting them.
Yeah.
It just scares me.
Yeah. I find myself like consistently frustrated that. Of the horror aspects of the world, like of that you're just like, they'll see a preview for a scary movie and you're like, gosh, they don't even like, even the trailers don't like censor the way that they used to. And that like, if you can,
I remember being super scared just from the trailer. Like there was a movie in the 80s called Living Dolls.
Mm.
And it was just about these little dolls that I guess came alive and were evil.
Yeah.
I had dreams of, I saw that commercial once.
Yeah.
And I dreamed about it for years.
Yeah.
My toys and dolls waking up and like, we're going to get you.
Yeah. What a weird thing where someone's like, you know what would be great is if we made child things terrifying.
Yes.
You know what? Kids love clowns. Not anymore. They don't. Dolls, gone.
Yeah. That's no good.
Toy Story really came around and redeemed that, didn't they?
A little bit.
Like, what if they're happy? That was the whole work of Toy Story, was just to redeem.
But Toy Story 3 was pretty disturbing, too.
Oh, with the fire thing and furnace, right?
Well, that at the end, for sure. But the whole concept was like there was this daycare, which was really like an underground thing where they enslave toys and torture them.
That's right.
Yeah. And it was run by these bad toys, you know. They were like, well, at least it ain't happening to me. Yeah. Keep them in cages and let kids
like toy trafficking.
Torture them. Yeah. Yeah, it was like this. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like maybe a metaphor for something else.
It's like, oh, man. Oh,
the kids are abusing the dolls.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think I'm going to get rid of internet and move to Warren, man. I think
come on, man. Starting a compound out there.
This is how cults get started. Sometimes we're like, no, we just need to get away from all this. I don't know. Let's try to...
We need 50 Bibles and 100 guns.
Should we learn to healthily interact with these things? No. Mm-mm. Removal. Yes. Abstinence.
Shut them down. Burn it down.
50 Bibles. We need 2 guns a Bible.
Yeah. One for the New Testament, one for the Old.
If you're Catholic, you get a third. You get a third gun for all the books in the middle.
Oh, do they use like uncanonized books or something?
Well, they would call them canon. Yeah, they have they got some extra books in the middle. There's good ones, one like called like you know, like Baal and the Dragon. They got some of the Maccabees. Oh, yeah. There's some of the good
Maccabees,
ones in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The Mormons, they got their...
I like some of the uncanonized books.
Yeah, yeah.
Super
some,
interesting. Especially the Book of Enoch.
I haven't read Enoch.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, it's like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's, really. It's like the deleted scenes of the director's cut of the Bible. It's like, oh, there's giants and like
if any
good angels and bad angels.
Yeah,
and all
they
this
really
stuff.
Should have like I think like all the Gnostic Gospels and stuff. Like if they would have like had a better marketing team, they'd have been more popular. Like if they would have said like this is the Bible director's cut, they would have gotten people would have called them less heretics, more innovators.
Yeah,
more artists.
There's plenty of great movie scripts waiting to be made in the Bible. Like Nebuchadnezzar was like savage dude that would skin people if they didn't worship him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he'd
gosh,
be the worst bad guy ever.
I've always wondered how we've never had like a great David one. You're like, he's the good guy.
Right.
Just kidding. He's sleeping with this girl and having her husband killed while he fights for his kingdom.
Yeah, he was good at first, though.
He's the good guy.
Yeah. Moral of the story, Jezebel. Women ruin everything.
There are like interesting morals to stories sometimes. Yeah, you're like, so what's the moral of this story? Don't get your hair cut. What? You lose all your power. Okay.
I love Proverbs just because there's so many like hilarious things in it. You know, like sometimes my wife and I will be in an argument and I'll be like, well, let's just go to scripture. It says right here in Proverbs that it's better to sit on the eave of your roof than to share your house with a nagging woman. It says it right there,
get
baby.
Get the ladder, honey.
Yeah, I'm going on the roof.
Yeah, preparing for a flood.
I'm up there like, he's right. This is better.
This is so much better.
This is nicer.
Yeah, yeah. I've always laughed at people that have like if you spank your kids, whatever. But to me, if you're using the proverb, spare the rod, you know, spoil the kid.
Yeah.
You're like, well, it says so you gotta use the rod. I was like, yeah, it also says you're supposed to use the rod on a fool.
Yeah.
So you just walk around whacking strangers. Like, yeah, that's some idiotic behavior right there. Whack.
Right, but who gets to decide if it's foolishness?
That's what I'm saying. It's like you're making a jumping application.
It's kind of subjective, isn't it?
I don't know how they do it.
I find your actions to be foolish, sir.
Whack.
Bring me my rod.
Bring me my rod. And what's a rod? A shepherd's stick?
Bring me the fool's rod, not the children rod.
The fool's rod. It's just bigger. It's just the fool's rod.
Your face offends me. Bring me the ugly stick.
You see someone jaywalking, just whacking.
That'd
just
be great.
It would probably clean up some behavior.
Then we'd be debating about rod control in the country. Not everybody should have access to these rods.
Well, we don't need guns. We need rods.
Yeah.
But only certain rods.
I need a rod with a bump stock.
I put my rod in a safe.
Yes.
And I put
a lock
so I don't use it on myself.
Talk to your kid about rods in the home.
How long have you and Becky been together now? Because as long as I've known you.
Like 10 years now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is she, what, how's she doing with the adjustment? She likes it out there? Or no?
No, she loves it. Yeah. She, no, it took her a long time. You know, it was a a hard transition for her.
Sure, yeah.
You know, she had a big life in San Diego and tons of friends and family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a job that she loved. She's a, you know, waitress at the Comedy Palace,
right.
And bartender. She loves stand-up. She loves being a part of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I won the World Series of Comedy in like 2016, and we moved right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, she's in this small town. You know, right. We're like the only people on the street that don't have chickens in the yard. Yeah, you know?
Like, and probably aren't the only people that like aren't from there. Probably like
yeah. Nobody's moving to there. Nobody's
only comics.
Yeah,
that's the prize for winning the World Series of Comedy.
But she loves it now. She's finally, you know, it took a while. She's adjusted to the slower pace of small town life.
Right.
The fact that everybody knows each other, so there's kind of this grapevine gossip.
People in each other's business a lot, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I don't think they're really trying to be, but it's such a small town that you just hear about everything.
Right. Yeah.
Now, there's certainly a group of people that, you know, thrive on the gossip.
And yeah.
They have Facebook pages of like, there's one called Tyler County Meth Busters where they just post pictures of everybody they suspect might be doing meth.
See, there's proof the internet's a good thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was one of my favorite groups. I go in there all the time.
Every time I'd get a notification, I'd be on there. Until you see your face. One time it'll be one of them. It's going to be like a Minority Report. Yeah. They're like, wait a minute, it's me?
Yeah.
One of them posts a picture.
You're
going
to try meth next Thursday. So I don't think I would.
I would never. I am going to try meth. I didn't see it coming. This group is a prophecy.
Meth is something that alarms me, too. Like, it really upsets me that it's made its way all the way into my little small town.
Mm.
You know, and it is a big problem.
Sometimes I've heard, like, you know, a lot of my family's from small towns. Sometimes it can hit percentage-wise a small town in like a big way like that, like,
yeah.
You know, because when you're in a big city, like, of course there's people using, but there's not, things aren't always like unified, you know, like meth doesn't just come to town, you know.
Right.
It's been there. But like in I imagine in smaller towns, like, its presence can be felt a little more.
Well, it's ridiculous. I think the cops are in on it. I think they're getting paid off, because, you know, I've been living there for a short time. I can tell you, I know where they're cooking it.
Yeah.
I know where they're picking it up and dropping it off. Like, I just see it all day.
Yeah.
You know, and I've talked to some of the cops and the sheriff's department, and they're like, they just, you know, like, we don't have the funding and we don't have the support and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I know where they are.
Right.
Like, there's no. Look at that guy. Look at that guy yelling at himself. You can't. It's simple police work. I'm not asking you to form a task force and SWAT these guys.
No.
Just go get him. He's over there.
He's right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do anything.
Oh, man.
Well, then we need a new version of cops.
I think there's a lot of people that agree with you on that.
Yeah. Seriously, man.
Well, I mean, sometimes I feel like, and maybe that's almost like an old trope of like the small town cop, like, you know, that they are in not necessarily, I don't mean like they're in on a lot of the crime, but they're in on everybody's business. And usually the cop is like someone they all know.
Yeah.
Who, like, grew up there, too, and, like, oh, now you're the cop. It's not like, you know, Officer Johnson. It's Steve. They all went to school with Steve, and they're hard to respect Steve as a lawman sometimes, you know.
A weird thing happened recently. My 12-year-old, the girl, we left her home alone for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we gave her instructions, and so she called and asked if she could walk over to her friends, and we said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the local Barney Fife cop sees her. And picks her up and is like, what are you doing walking around by yourself? And she explains it. And she says, well, I'm at home. My parents are. She lied and said my parents are there, because she felt weird that the cop was all in her business.
Yeah.
You know,
she was scared. Yeah.
So when I got home, the cop was there with her. And he was like, you know, thinking I'm going to thank him. He's like, you know, I was just doing you a favor. I saw her out walking around and I picked her up. And, you know, and then it seemed like she lied to me. She said that you guys were home. And I was like, well, okay, knock on the door so I can talk to your parents. And then she lied. You know, I was like, why does she need to explain any of this to you?
Yeah,
like,
she's 12.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is what you're concentrating on? Like the 12-year-old girl walking down the street?
Yeah.
But not the 30, 40-year-old guy over there screaming at the tree? That doesn't alarm you?
And that's not a tree that he's seeing right now.
Yeah. It's Groot.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm Groot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but I mean, I love living in a small town.
Yeah.
Really. I go fishing a lot.
Yeah.
My my mom lives there.
Mm-hmm.
She retired when I moved there.
Yeah.
She was like a...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, postmaster of a small town.
Well, I mean, my kids moved from big town to big town. We moved from Seattle to San Diego, and that took adjusting, too. It is an adjustment to the small town, but just adjustment in general. Like, okay, new friends, new rhythms, new things, new weather, new culture. You know, Southern California to Texas is very different. You know, all of that has a lot of different. But it sounds like you guys are doing well. Yeah, like you're happy there.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Good, man.
Yeah, we're doing great. You know, I'm hardly ever... People are asked, like, what's comedy like in Texas? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like the girl coming up to me. Do you work the Madhouse? You know what? Less than I used to, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I'm gone a lot, man. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing well, and I'm glad that I got to spend some time with you here in Vegas, and thanks for doing the podcast, man.
Absolutely, man. All right. Enjoy the rest of your time.
Yeah, let's go find Isaac.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.